This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. You don't come across many serious visual artists who are making pictures that are quote-unquote ripped from the headlines, let alone interesting work. So when I heard about Allison Elizabeth Taylor, I was intrigued. She grew up in Las Vegas, and her current show is called Foreclosed.
There were cul-de-sacs in Las Vegas where there would be four empty houses and just one family living there, the fifth house. And, you know, what's it like to live like that with no community and no future, really?
The pictures show the insides of houses that have been vandalized by their former owners, by squatters, by thieves. Gouges kicked into walls, outlets yanked out, shotgun holes with daylight coming through.
I totally understand why people create this damage. These houses are like stand-ins for unseen bankers and mortgage bundlers and all of these people that have created this mess. I mean, they have no target, so the house becomes the target.
The pictures are almost like pop art, and you can see some of them at studio360.org. But what's hard to see online is that these aren't paintings. Taylor works with thin pieces of wood in the old furniture-making technique known as marquetry. Each picture is painstakingly assembled from different types and colors of wood veneer, all fitted together like a puzzle. I met Allison Elizabeth Taylor at the James Cohan Gallery in New York. This series of pictures is called Foreclosed. What did you set out to do here?
Well, originally, I had seen this house. This house had been just lovingly restored by the people that had been living there. They had like scraped and sanded and repainted every inch of it, just this laborious effort. And they had been foreclosed on, and they had turned on the second floor tap and just left it on and let it flood this house completely. So by the time I saw it, there were chunks of the ceiling coming down and insulation and just water damage all over the walls.
And these are the same people who had meticulously restored it.
Yes.
That's tragic.
I actually didn't take any pictures that day, but it kind of just stayed in my head for 6 months. And I'd actually been starting to work on something else, but I kept hearing these stories about people just flipping out and trashing the places that they were leaving. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting thing to look deeper into.
And how did you get to Las Vegas, aside from the fact that it has one of the highest foreclosure rates in America?
My family is friends with this guy who goes around and gets into foreclosed houses.
Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up there, yeah. He looks into the houses and takes pictures for, you know, people who want to bid on the houses. We did get a lockbox code at one point where we could go around and get into the foreclosures. But by the time they've got lockboxes, the banks have just turned them around, you know, like they've got the contractors in there. So it was kind of like I was chasing these things that would be fixed up so quickly. You know, this is the beginning of the foreclosure crisis.
So your trick was to get there after they've been foreclosed, the people who owned them have left, but before the system has absorbed them, sort of?
Exactly, yeah. And it was very hard to pinpoint that moment and get out there from 2,000 miles away in the beginning of the crisis. It got much easier a year and a half later. I mean, it's incredibly sad how easy it got.
So when did you start this?
Maybe the spring of 2008.
So before the big meltdown. But I guess in Las Vegas, it was already melting down.
Yeah, it started melting down in 2007.
And uh-huh. Well, should we go take a look at them?
Sure.
Great. So this is smallish, 12 by 16 maybe. And it is, it's a hole in a wall, I guess. Or it's a Trump Lloyd version of a hole in the wall.
Right. I found it low on the wall. So I kind of started thinking maybe somebody had kicked that hole. You know, I have no way of knowing for sure. But definitely seems like the kind of emotional storm that comes out of one when they're feeling a little angry and powerless, exhibited on drywall would look like that.
What woods did you use? How many different kinds and what kinds?
That one, I mean, it's a smaller piece. I think it's probably like 40 different kinds of wood.
Good
like,
job.
A wood looks one thing, you know, when it's by itself, but when it's put together with other woods and then it's sanded and it's finished with shellac, it can look entirely different. You know, like walnut, you've got flat cut and quarter cut and maybe a walnut burl, the cancerous growth on the tree. They all look really different. So sometimes it's just the figure of the wood that's different. But like that background is holly. The darkness inside is fumed oak. The tears that look kind of like cardboard are tropical olive. You know, I use them like a painter uses paint because I'm trying to create form.
It's interesting. I mean, with all these pieces, and you see it here already, that you know, you've done this incredibly craft-intensive, workmanlike thing with real wood and all these different colors of real wood, depicting these houses that have no craft and no real wood in them at all, right?
Right, made of stucco and chicken wire.
Yeah, yeah. Was that part of the idea?
I think the idea was more that these things are created in, what, a tenth of a second? You know, in a moment of real violent passion.
Oh, these violent, these scars. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, with these cheap materials that give way so quickly, and then to render them in this laborious process, I felt like that would kind of call attention to them in
yes.
a way and make them worth looking at, whereas they might be passable, you know.
Right,
just
if it was
as
just
a
photograph, exactly.
Yeah.
A quick take on a quick
exactly.
action, yeah. This is a very small one. It looks like a electrical outlet and a light switch.
Right. And I'm assuming that because the wire is cut and it's kind of pulled out, that somebody was probably stripping this house for wire.
Uh-huh.
You know, copper has gotten so expensive in the last few years, it's like tripled. So a lot of these houses that are underwater are then completely destroyed when they take out all the copper, because then who's going to go, you know, rewire and replumb a $25,000 house that's in
right.
the desert that nobody wants?
How many houses did you end up going in?
Oh, my God, probably like 100.
Really?
I did it over a bunch of trips. It was almost like addictive. My husband came with me, and we were like driving around. You know, we had like got to go to the airport, and we were like seeing foreclosed houses. And you know.
And how, I mean, do you like jimmy windows or
no,
smash
well, so that's,
doors? Or
that was something like early on in the process, I decided that I was just going to treat it like a nature walk. I didn't want to break anything. I don't want to take anything. I want to leave no trace. And my mom's boyfriend told me he knew about some foreclosures over in Henderson. You know, I was like, well, I'll be fine. He's usually got something on him. He's always packing. He's like, you know, I felt like I'd be safe.
You mean a gun?
Yeah, oh. Yeah. So we went over
you
there.
You Vegas people.
I know, right? we went over there, and there was like a broken front window, and I just slipped in the window. And
uh-huh.
I mean, before I go in there, I would say, hi, you know, I'm Allie, I'm an artist. Yeah. I'm going to come in and take some pictures. You know, I didn't want to scare anybody, you know.
Or get shot.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. So tell me about how you made these. You didn't just take photographs. You didn't just take photographs and make paintings out of them. What did you do?
Right. Well, I would make drawings based on the photographs that I took. Then once I get to the point where I've got a drawing that I like and is fully fleshed out, I then do like another drawing and make it graphic so I can translate it into wood. And so all of the tonal changes, I can break them down into different pieces of wood and create that form.
And so translate it into wood. That's what I want to understand. It's this technique that I only know from tabletops called marquetry, right?
Right, right, yeah. Marquetry is basically an image that is made entirely out of pieces of wood, and the pieces of wood are able to convey the value and the contrast and throughout the composition.
In a two-dimensional way.
Yeah,
and people
yeah.
have seen it on tabletops, furniture pieces. That's where it's familiar.
Yeah.
Is that what you've always worked in, or is this a new?
No, in the beginning I was using wood grain contact paper
uh-huh.
and integrating that into my paintings. But then I moved here and I felt like the wood grain contact paper, it had a level of disposability and irony I didn't really have in my subjects. And I wanted to take on all the baggage. I mean, it had so many people telling me craft wasn't important.
That's the modern young artist mantra, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just get ornery and then do, you know, what people tell you not to do, I guess. So I kind of, you know, I have to follow my inspiration even if it's out of step with what's current in the art world.
Uh-huh. And what do your pals in the art world think of this?
Some of them think I'm a little crazy, but none of them have written me off yet.
You can see some of the pictures by Allison Elizabeth Taylor at studio360.org. And her exhibit, Foreclosed, is up in New York City until June 19th.